Welcome to the May 22nd, 2019 edition of the Crypto.IQ Daily Radio Show, where we do a deep dive market analysis every day and talk about the most interesting stories in the Bitcoin and crypto space. This is your host, Space Marine, live from space. Bitcoin has been range-bound since Sunday, trading between support at $7,600 and a long-term resistance level at $8,300. So a couple of times this month we have hit $8,300, but we have not exceeded it. And this resistance level has actually been in place since June 2018. So in July 2018, there was a rally from $6,200 and it stopped at $8,300. So $8,300 is a key resistance level to watch to see if the bull run can continue. As for the past 24 hours, overnight and into the morning, Bitcoin has been steadily declining from $8,100 around 5 p.m. Eastern time yesterday to $7,800 currently. It seems like $7,800 is a local support level with a stronger support at $7,600. And then there is a support level as well at $7,000 if things get really bearish. So $7,800, $7,600, and $7,000 are the levels to watch to see if Bitcoin's going to make a downturn. And right now, Bitcoin's rated at $7,800 as I speak. And the resistance level to watch is $8,100 locally, and then $8,300 is our long-term resistance level. Moving on to the rest of the market analysis. Since Bitcoin is down since yesterday afternoon, there is a lot of red across the board, but it's mixed. There are some cryptocurrencies still in the green. So Ethereum is up 0.8%. It's near $253 this morning. Ripple's down 0.9%, near 39 cents. Bitcoin Cash is down 0.9%, near $406. EOS is down 0.5%, near $6.22. Litecoin is down 0.6%, but still hanging above $90. Binance Coin is doing particularly well. It's up 10% in the past 24 hours at $31.60. So the all-time high for Binance Coin was achieved in the past 24 hours of about $32. So Binance Coin is literally higher than it was even during that major rally in late 2017, early 2018. So Binance Coin is the most profitable coin of the week, pretty much. Besides Bitcoin SV, but we'll get into that. Stellar is down 1.7%. Cardano is down 2.1%. Tron is down 3.2%. And then here's Bitcoin SV. It's up 58% in the past 24 hours. And it's right around $100. So what happened yesterday? We talked about it in depth on yesterday's show. So Craig Wright, who is pretty much the founder of Bitcoin SV, he got the copyrights for Bitcoin's code and the Bitcoin white paper. He claims to be Satoshi Nakamoto, and he submitted whatever evidence he had to the copyright office, and they believed he is Satoshi Nakamoto. So now he owns the copyright for Bitcoin's code and the Bitcoin white paper under the term literary works. Even code apparently is a literary work, quote-unquote, when it comes to the copyright office. And he says he's going to transfer the ownership of that to Bitcoin Association, which is literally just the people that own the Bitcoin SV software. So that caused Bitcoin SV to rally from about $62 to $140, and then it retraced back down to $100. And that rally happened in the morning time. So in a few hours, once we get past 24 hours since the Bitcoin SV rally, Bitcoin SV will actually be in the red. So it's going to be a rapid change of percentage here. What I mean by that is just after 8 a.m. Eastern time yesterday is when that Bitcoin SV rally started. It peaked at just after 9 a.m. Eastern time. So in a couple hours, so right now I'm recording this just after 7 a.m. In a couple of hours, the 24-hour change for Bitcoin SV will be quite in the red. And right now it's like the number one in the green. It's up 58%, but then it's going to go to like down like 40% or so. Moving on with the market analysis, Monero is down 0.75%, near $88. Dash is down 0.7%, near $162. IOTA's up 0.4%, trading near 41 cents. Tezos is down 1.9%. Cosmos is down 1.9%. And NEO is down 0.9%. And then Dogecoin is down almost 2% this morning. So we're seeing plenty of red across the board. There's a few cryptocurrencies in the green, such as Ethereum and Binance Coin and Bitcoin SV and IOTA. And particularly, Binance Coin is rallying to new all-time highs over this past week. And then Bitcoin SV had that crazy pump and then dump because of Craig Wright copywriting Bitcoin's code. The total crypto market cap is near $247 billion at this moment. And that's not the 2019 high, but it is 147% above the bear market low. So back in December during the bear market low, the total crypto market cap was $100 billion. We're 147% above that. The high for 2019 is $264 billion. So we're within striking distance of that if we see another rally. Bitcoin's going to have to go through its resistance level, 8,300, for a new 2019 high to happen. In general, like I said at the beginning of the market analysis, we're range-bound since Sunday. So the market is waiting. Will Bitcoin turn bearish and go down through its support levels, or will it break its resistance levels and reach some new highs and continue the bull run? And then an especially important date is happening about 9 days from now. So on May 31st, we're going to see the CME Bitcoin futures expiration. And I think that's a pivotal moment to watch to see if the market's going to at least hold itself steady or continue the bull run. Since the CME Bitcoin futures expiration is off at a pivot point, if Bitcoin and the rest of the crypto market starts declining a lot right after May 31st, that's not a good sign for the month of June. It may indicate a significant retrace down through long-term support levels. On the other hand, if Bitcoin and crypto keeps going up after the CME Bitcoin futures expiration on May 31st, I'd be ready to declare that the bear market is over. Moving on to the first interesting story of the day. So Block.one, which is behind EOS, which is a major cryptocurrency listed at number 5 on CoinMarketCap with a market cap of $5.6 billion. So Block.one is the company behind EOS. They are doing a buyback round of their shares, and apparently their shares started at $22.50 during 2017, and now they're buying them back for $1,500, so that's a tremendous return of about 6,600%. Returns like that are rarely seen in the world for any sort of asset, so anyone that invested in Block.one early on and got it for like $22.50, yeah, they made 6,600% on their investment. Galaxy Digital, which is a crypto hedge fund, took this as an opportunity to cash out their investment in Block.one. So they invested $325 million early on into the EOS ecosystem, but it wasn't quite in 2017. It was, I think, in early 2018 that they did this. So they made a return on their investment of 123% on that $325 million. Not quite 6,600%, but still 123% return is pretty good. So they have cashed out their Block.one shares. Moving on to the next story. So we were just talking about the CME Bitcoin futures expiration on the market analysis, and some interesting data about CME is coming up right now. So interestingly enough, even though the CME Bitcoin futures seem to have a pretty large effect on the market, there's not that many people involved with them actually trading them. So at the beginning in December 2017, there was only 500 traders using CME Bitcoin futures. And despite that, the day the CME Bitcoin futures launched on December 17, 2017 is the day the bear market started. So even with just 500 unique traders, the CME Bitcoin futures managed to introduce a massive amount of short selling pressure, and it helped precipitate the beginning of the bear market. After that, you can't blame the entire bear market on CME Bitcoin futures, but it definitely was the push that shoved us off the cliff sort of thing. And now, even after tremendous growth, there's only about 2,500, to be exact, 2,547 accounts on CME Bitcoin futures. So it's a relatively small club of people that have a very significant influence on the market. I did an analysis of every CME Bitcoin futures expiration there has been, and it's usually a pivot point where the market goes from bullish to bearish or bearish to bullish. And more often than not, during the contract periods, Bitcoin is declining. So in 2018, there was a 2 or 3 months where Bitcoin was going up during the contract period. And then the rest of the year was going down through each contract period. And now we've seen 2 months in a row, actually, just now, April and May, where Bitcoin's going up during the contract period. So that's why I'm waiting for the next CME Bitcoin futures expiration to see, hey, is it going to keep going up for the next contract period, or is it going to go back to normal, quote-unquote normal, and then keep going down, and like they're going to short the market. Back to the story, it's perhaps good that there's more traders on CME, because it decentralizes it slightly, because before it seems like those first 500 traders were definitely shorting the market every month, but now there's going to be more competition. Maybe some of the traders will go long, some of them will go short, so it'll mix it up a bit and not make it like a solid like bear market every time they decide to short. Maybe, I'm just speculating. But yeah, it's very interesting to see how there's not that many traders on CME, even though it has a huge impact on the Bitcoin market. Moving on to the next story. The Securities and Exchange Commission has received a filing from the New York Stock Exchange, ARCA, to amend a rule so they can list shares of the United States Bitcoin and Treasury Investment Trust. So this is another ETF. So just because they've applied to the SEC does not mean much. yesterday we talked about how the VanEck Solid X Bitcoin ETF, which is the most favored and highly anticipated Bitcoin ETF because it uses actual Bitcoins, it's been having an impossible time of getting approved by the SEC. So, yeah, they've started their process for trying to get approved. And this is becoming a trend now. This is not the only Bitcoin-related ETF that tries to include another asset. So in this case, they're mixing Bitcoin with Treasury bonds for an ETF. And that's because the pure Bitcoin ETFs like VanEck Solid X, they're having an impossible time. So maybe these companies are thinking, hey, if we like mix like some Treasury bonds with it, or maybe some stocks with it and some regular assets, it'll have a higher likelihood of being approved. I don't think that's the case, but yeah, they're trying to mix it up and make hybrid ETFs where it includes Bitcoin, but it's not totally Bitcoin, in order to try to get approved by the SEC. So this one would be managed by Coinbase. Like the custody for the United States Bitcoin and Treasury Investment Trust would be managed by Coinbase, and they have $200 million of insurance from Fidelity. So that seems like a lot better, actually, than maybe the other Bitcoin ETFs that have happened so far. That seems a lot more what the SEC wants. They want massive insurance on it, and they would also want custody from a third party. So we'll see what happens with this, but it's always a long process. Just because they've applied for it doesn't mean it's coming anytime soon. Moving on to the next story. Apparently, in the New York Supreme Court, with Tether and Bitfinex battling the New York Attorney General's office, Tether admitted that they have been investing their reserves into Bitcoin and other assets and cryptocurrency. So they aren't just holding $1 to $1 in a bank, and that's what Tether originally said. They said, hey, we're a stablecoin, and we hold $1 in the bank for every Tether that exists, so investors are guaranteed that their stablecoin will always be stable. Well, of course, this court case has happened where pretty much Bitfinex and Tether lost their bank account in the latter half of last year. And so they lost their bank in Puerto Rico, and then they eventually found a bank in the Bahamas, Deltec Bank of the Bahamas, but in between they had no bank for like 2 months or so. And then they put money in Crypto Capital to process payments, and then Crypto Capital got raided by the United States, Portugal, and Poland for money laundering, so Bitfinex ended up losing $850 million. And then Bitfinex went ahead and took over half $1 billion out of Tether's reserves. So Tether had $2.8 billion in the bank. Bitfinex took more than half $1 billion out of that in order to patch the situation so Bitfinex wouldn't collapse from the Crypto Capital $850 million seizure. So at that point, Tether was no longer backed one-to-one by dollars, and that's kind of bad right in the middle after like people already invested $2.8 billion to change the rules like that. So that's not a good thing. And then now Tether is saying they are also investing money into Bitcoin and other cryptocurrencies and assets. And the judge surprisingly said they are allowed to do that, because that's actually pretty common among like all the banks and all the corporations. They'll take money from investment and then invest it into Bitcoin. And just because the judge said it's okay, I don't think it's morally okay, because they're basically trying to make money on the money instead of just leaving it stable. The whole point of Tether was like they leave the money in the bank. It backs every Tether token, and then they get a transaction fee for creating new Tether and then burning Tether. So they get deposit and withdrawal fees, and then they keep the money in the bank, keep it safe. Well, they've gone beyond that now, and they're trying to make money on the money, and they're trying to make it into like a hedge fund, like the Tether hedge fund. Even though people that hold Tether, even though their money's being used for investment, they're not getting paid anything. So that's the problem. So if a bank uses your money for investment, they have to make you aware of that, and then they usually give you like an interest rate. Even though the interest rates are very small at the banks, they do give you an interest rate. Tether does not give anyone an interest rate, even though they're using the money for investment. So that's a little dishonest in my view. If they're going to be running a hedge fund with Tether, they should pay out a dividend to everyone that holds Tether. That's the moral, honest way to do this sort of thing. So it seems like Tether's just doing anything they want with the money, and they're arguing to the New York Supreme Court that they could do anything they want with the money, and they're kind of referencing like banks and corporations and stuff who do anything they want with the money and saying, hey, why can't we do this too? And that's a good point, but also I think regardless, it's morally wrong to be taking the Tether's reserves and doing whatever they want with it. Who knows what they're buying? Like they don't even make it public how much Bitcoin they have or what assets do they have and how much money is really there. They don't even like declare that anywhere. It started even before the Crypto Capital situation. Their auditor quit, and no one knows exactly why the auditor quit, but it's starting to become clear So yeah, they couldn't get an audit firm. They said, oh, it's so hard to find someone to audit, you know, our company because we're a cryptocurrency company. And people were like, okay, yeah, that's true. Yeah, they probably, like, classic auditing firms don't want to work with Tether because they involve with cryptocurrency. But it seems like the truth is, like, an auditing firm did not even want to touch this situation because other stablecoins are audited. In fact, almost all of them are, like, USD Coin and Gemini Dollar and Paxos Standard. They're definitely audited. But then Tether said they could not be audited, and then they kind of went and did everything they wanted to do with their money, which is the whole point of the auditing firm was to prevent that. So, of course, they didn't want to be audited. So, yeah, it's kind of a shady situation. But despite that, Tether's at a new all-time high market cap, near $3 billion right now. So people are actually buying more and more Tether despite this court situation. And so far, the only thing that's happened is there's an injunction where the line of credit... So basically, after $850 million was seized from Bitfinex and Crypto Capital, they opened a $900 million line of credit, and they charged up over $700 million of that, and maybe a little more, because they had a little leeway before it got frozen. So that line of credit got frozen after they used almost all of it, and then they raised $1 billion in an initial exchange offering, which is basically an ICO. And then also, they have been ordered not to tamper with the documents that the New York Attorney General's office requested. So the New York Attorney General's office requested, like, all of the information about Tether and Bitfinex, and the court has upheld that, so that's a major thing. So for now, it's just the credit line is frozen, and Bitfinex said, aha, we're just going to raise $1 billion, you can't affect us. But now they're going to have to submit all those documents, and they can't tamper with them. And that will lead to the next part of this court case. So, yeah, Bitfinex and Tether are kind of in the eye of the hurricane. So the first eye wall came through. It was pretty much like the beginning of the lawsuit caused a shockwave for Bitfinex and Tether. Like, a lot of people were rushing out of Bitfinex, and Tether's price crashed for a little while. But now everything's calm and everything looks fine, but they're still in the middle of a hurricane. Moving on to the next story. China banned Bitcoin trading a while ago, and using Bitcoin as a currency is definitely not legal in China. But Xia Zhao, spelled S-A-X-I-A-O, who is a council member at the Bank of China Law Research Association, says that since Bitcoin is property in China, so it's not totally illegal, people can own it. And that has a lot to do with the mining industry there. So a lot of the Bitcoin mining industry is based in China. And so it's not illegal to mine it and own it as property. And also people could trade it because it's property. That's just how property works. So apparently Bitcoin trading is not totally banned in China. It's definitely severely suppressed from what it was. In the past, like, the biggest exchanges in the world were all based in China. We had Huobi, Binance, and OKCoin. The top three spot exchanges in the world were all based in China. And then they had to flee when China generally made Bitcoin trading illegal. But then the same guy that says you could trade Bitcoin peer-to-peer in China also says that if someone invests Bitcoin with your company and you have, like, a serious Bitcoin trading business and then people lose money and there's serious consequences, then, like, you could go to jail and be severely punished. So it's not like the United States. In the United States, someone could have a crypto hedge fund, and then they try to educate their investors and say, hey, it's Bitcoin, do your research. Then the investor wants the Bitcoin because they did their research and they like the prospects of it. And if they invest money for Bitcoin and they lose money, no one's going to go to jail in the United States for that, as long as everything's transparent and above board. But in China, like, a crypto hedge fund, like, whoever's operating it, like, they could go to jail if they lost money. So that makes it really risky to run a crypto hedge fund in China, which is something that's probably already well known, because they did ban, like, exchanges in China. And yeah, if there's a serious crypto hedge fund there or some sort of serious Bitcoin exchanger there, they could be in trouble for multiple reasons, not just the fact that if their customers lose money, that's kind of against the law too. I guess the moral of this entire story is just don't even start a Bitcoin business in China. Moving on to the next story. So Game of Thrones is over, but here's some Game of Thrones news combined with cryptocurrency news. So Bronn of the Blackwater, whose real name is apparently Jeremy Flynn, and Bronn of the Blackwater is like this dude that's kind of like a sellsword. Like, he's paid money and he kind of fights for whoever pays him the most gold. Well, he's joined this project called Vegan Nation. It's like a cryptocurrency project in Israel, and they're going to have vegan coins. So it's kind of like a cryptocurrency ecosystem for vegans where they could trade 100% cruelty-free products and services. So I think this is another example of a project where they kind of slapped blockchain onto it. It might be a good idea where they have their own currency for trading vegan items, but why not use Bitcoin or something? But yeah, so Sir Bron of the Blackwater is launching an ICO to accumulate as much gold as he can because he can no longer get any more gold in Westeros. So that's all I have for you today on this May 22nd, 2019 edition of the Crypto.IQ Daily Radio Show. Come back tomorrow for another exciting episode and go to Crypto.IQ 24/7 for the most interesting stories in the Bitcoin and crypto space. Also join that Crypto.IQ trading desk. They have made 314% profit since July. And if you join the Crypto.IQ trading desk, you can see their trades in real time. There's a full trade analysis feature. Just by reading their trade analysis, you can become an expert cryptocurrency trader, but it gets even better. You could ask the Crypto.IQ traders questions in real time, and they'll answer your questions pretty quickly. So joining the Crypto.IQ trading desk is the best way to become an expert and profitable cryptocurrency trader. This is your host, Space Marine, signing out. I remain in space.